America's about to lose the AI arms race. Not because of chips or code, but power. AI runs on energy and we don't have enough. China's building a new coal plant every week while Democrats cancel pipelines and block drilling. No power, no progress, no AI future. That's why we need you. Sign up now for free at oilfacts.com to get your free report on the AI arms race before rolling blackouts wipe out our future. Oilfacts.com, powered by Prairie Operating Company, a high-growth, low-cost producer of safe and responsible American energy.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million U.S. citizens carry medical debt. But that's not the whole story. With health insurance, your out-of-pocket and monthly costs are way too high. You get surprise bills, denied claims, and poor customer service. That's a serious burden. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. You can enroll at any time and join a proven, faith-based solution that's both reliable and affordable. CHM isn't just help, it's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Families across the country count on CHM to step in during their hardest moments, and it works. Stand up to health insurance with a low-cost, biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So very honored to have you with us on this Friday. You know, I don't know what it is about this administration, but they like to break a lot of news on Friday. So it's never a good idea just to, you know, sit back and drink some iced tea and take a nap, because something's going to be breaking with the Trump administration. And we do know that later today, President Trump, and this is going to happen around 5 o'clock Eastern this evening, President Trump is, in fact, going to be making an announcement about dropping the price of drugs in this country. So that's going to be some big news that a lot of people are going to be paying very close attention to. Also, the Pentagon just dropping this bombshell, and it's really causing some issues among many conservatives. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth announcing just moments ago that the Pentagon will host a new Qatari Air Force facility in Idaho, saying this is all part of the Gaza peace deal. Hegseth says made the announcement during a meeting at the Pentagon with Qatar's Minister of Defense. The United States is going to be building an Air Force facility for Qatar at the Mountain Home Air Force Base in Idaho. And the base will allow pilots to train on Qatari F-15 fighter jets to enhance their training and operability, as they say. So what's interesting about this is the response, which is not good from many in the conservative world, including Laura Loomer, who has been a diehard, you know, Trump whisperer from day one, probably more so than anyone else in the country. Laura Loomer saying this on her X page: I never thought I'd see Republicans give terror financing Muslims from Qatar a military base on U.S. soil so they can murder Americans. I don't think I'll be voting in 2026. I cannot in good conscience make any excuse for the harboring of jihadis. This is where I draw the line. Now, this is interesting because Qatar has been involved in a lot of terrorist activity, mostly behind the scenes and mostly involving the financing. So have the Saudis, by the way. And a lot of people don't like to remember this, but it was, in fact, the Saudis who were behind the September 11th Muslim terrorist attacks in this country. And Laura Loomer raises a very interesting point. What happened the last time we let Muslims learn how to fly planes on U.S. soil? Does anyone in the Trump administration know? It's a great question. She also points out that Pete Hegseth has a tattoo on his body that says infidel. And she writes this, he of all people should know how bad of an idea it is to allow terror financing Qataris who fund Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood to have an Air Force base on U.S. soil. America was nice while it lasted. Oh, you know, the Muslims, they consider all of us a Christian people and the Jews to be the infidels. Did you know that? I mean, it is what it is. So we'll be analyzing this and breaking it down and seeing ultimately what all of this means for the average American. But a lot of people in the conservative world are very upset about this. And I have to imagine within the Jewish circles of the conservative movement, there's going to be a lot of blowback over this because it's not really up for question. It's not up for debate. Qatar has been financing a lot of these very bad guys out there. So we'll keep you updated on all of that. Also, last night, I just found this to be fascinating. I was watching the debate, and I don't know if you caught any of this. I was watching the debate for the Virginia governor's race. And, man, it was a little weird. I'm just going to tell you, a little weird. You had Abigail Spanberger, who's the congresswoman, and she's on the Democrat side. She's a terrible candidate. She's actually polling about 13 points ahead of Winsome Earl Sears, who is the Republican candidate. So the lieutenant governor going at it. I thought Spanberger did an atrocious job last night. And we're going to play some audio here. This is Spanberger, and you knew this question was coming. As a matter of fact, we were talking about this on the Newsmax show last night, and we'll play some of that back and forth in just a few moments. But we knew this question about Jay Jones, the attorney general who wants to put bullets in the heads of Republicans. We knew that question was going to come up. Would Spanberger actually renounce the Democrat in her own party who wants to kill Republicans? Take a listen to cut number one.
Answer there on the endorsement issue. So I want to just make sure, will you continue to endorse Jay Jones to be the next Attorney General of Virginia? And were you aware of these text messages before they released? You have 30 seconds.
In fact, it appears that it was those who released the text messages and held them for years. So the public was unaware who had knowledge of these text messages for many
hours. What did you do about it?
I learned of these text messages the day that they came out, and I denounced them as soon as I learned of them.
She denounces murder.
And importantly, at this point, as we move forward, the voters now have this information that was withheld for them.
But you're running for
presumably for political reasons. But the voters now have the information, and it is up to voters to make an individual choice based on this information.
Ms. Member, I understand what you're saying about the voters, but for you yourself, do you still continue to endorse Jay Jones? 15 seconds, yes or no?
We are all running our individual races. I believe my opponent has said
third
that about her lieutenant governor
Abigail.
Nominee.
Ms. Earl Sayers.
And it's up to every person to make their own decision. I am running my race to serve Virginia, and that is what I intend to do.
Thank you, Ms. Spanberger. We just want to clarify, you know, what you're saying is that as of now, you still endorse Jay Jones as Attorney General.
I'm saying as of now, it's up to every voter to make their own individual decision. I am running for governor. I am accountable for the words that I say, for the acts that I take, for the policies that I have put out.
Thank you.
I am responsible for the policies I put out and the work I will endeavor to do tirelessly for the people of Virginia.
Thank you.
Wow. Okay. I think even the moderators are like, wait, what? You're not actually going to come out and condemn this guy? What? Really? I mean, they kept coming back and they're like, all right, let's just be clear here. What you're saying? Are you sure you want to say this? But she's standing by whatever that statement was. And her argument is that the Republicans have been sitting on this information for a long time and just randomly decided to drop it. So here's my challenge with that, with the Republicans. who are running very, very not good campaigns right now in Virginia. And I'll explain why here, and just bear with me. So the election is in November, okay? The time span, the people's short-term memory, it's gone. So by the time November rolls around, there's a very good chance, unless more videos and text messages drop, that people are going to forget about this Jay Jones things, and it will ultimately be irrelevant to people when they go and vote. I mean, that's just the reality of who we are as a culture right now. People just aren't paying attention. They've got a lot of other things. So if I had been, I don't know, if I had been running the campaign and I had this dirt on Jay Jones, I would have been releasing this a week or two before the election. So you're going to get at least bigger bang for the buck, and at least you're going to know that it's going to be on the minds of voters. Well, no, I know, no. I know that it's politics. All right. I know it, this has nothing to do with ethics. This is politics. And this is a political tool. They've got dirt on the opposition. You drop it at the most convenient time that's going to do the most damage to your opponent. I mean, that's how politics works. Look, I don't make the rules. I'm just telling you this is how it all plays out. That's all. So the other issue here is Winsome Sears. May I just ask a question? And serious, you know, we'll play some more audio here. And then I've got a question about Winsome Sears. This is Winsome talking about Spanberger not coming out and condemning Jay Jones. Cut number three.
I don't understand why you just can't come forward and say he needs to go. I mean, we're talking about murder. We're talking about someone's life being taken from them. Have you nothing to say about that? Are you not going to address it? Really, you can't go any further. You're a governor. You're supposed to stand up for all the people. Are you saying political murder is all right?
It's good question there. And look, all Spanberger had to do, you know, when the question was asked, she should have come right out of the gate and said, you know what? Yeah, not only do I condemn it, but that guy's got to get out of the race. He wants to be the top law enforcement officer in the Commonwealth, and he's out there advocating in text messages that he wants to kill Republicans. She goes, I don't like Republicans, but I don't want him dead. No, that guy's got to go. Yeah, I renounce that guy. I condemn that guy. I mean, it's a very simple thing. And then that becomes a non-issue. So then the other big story in Virginia are the battles over boys and girls bathrooms. And this Virginia has sort of become, I don't know, ground zero for this for some weird reason, especially up in the suburbs around Washington, D.C. We've got all these leftist wackadoodles, and Spanberger refusing to rule out letting boys into the girls' bathrooms. Take a listen to cut two, please.
Send the Youngkin administration policy requiring boys and girls to use bathrooms aligning with their biological sex. You have 30 seconds.
My priority would be to ensure that local communities, importantly parents and teachers,
that's
and educators,
yes or no,
are able to work together to meet the unique needs of each school and each community.
Girls
and that is
privacy.
Important. And I say that as a mother of three daughters in Virginia public schools.
Exactly.
And as someone who used to investigate crimes against children. The way that we keep our children safe is by ensuring they are safe in schools, which includes funding law enforcement and public safety.
But Ms. Spanberger, the question was, would you rescind the Youngkin administration policy requiring boys and girls to use bathrooms aligning with their biological sex? You have 15 seconds to clarify that question.
Yes.
And my answer is that in each local community, decisions should be made between parents and educators and teachers in each community. It shouldn't
parents
be dictated by politicians.
All right. So, again, I would have framed the question a little bit differently since Abigail Spanberger mentioned that she has three daughters. Congresswoman Spanberger, would you allow a girl named Bruce to shake his wiener in front of your daughters in the YMCA locker room? Yes or no? Great question, because it personalized her. I mean, she brought up the daughters, and then maybe we would have gotten some sort of an answer. But here's my overarching issue. It's with the lieutenant governor. She was the entire debate. She was just jumping in and interrupting. And, you really couldn't hear what Spanberger was saying. At that point, as a politician, you got to back up and just, if your opponent is committing political suicide out there, you got to let him do it. Don't intervene. Now, some people are saying that the constant interruptions made Winsome Sears seem like she was a fighter. But I don't know. It did not come across like that to me. And I've been hearing this from Republican circles that the campaign apparatus has not been working well for her for whatever reason. She's down 13 points in the polls, ladies and gentlemen, and the Republicans need a win in November. Let me say this. Everything, perception matters. It does. And yesterday we told you about MTG, and she has gone way off the reservation. MTG has. She is now the darling of CNN, and she's out there basically she says she's supporting Donald Trump and the administration. I don't know about that. But I will say this about MTG. She is right about the prices, and that prices are not going down, that younger Americans are not able at this point to even get out there and start living their American dream. And the question is, will they respond to that, and will they blame Trump for that? And that's a legitimate question, and we'll get into more of that as well. By the way, today is Open Line Friday, and that means you get to call in and talk about whatever's on your mind, whatever issue you want to talk about today. We will talk about that. 901-260-5926. Our telephone number again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Honest and true, Todd Starnes.
Friends, here's a reality check. Your biggest retirement expense likely isn't groceries or healthcare. It's taxes. Add inflation eating away at your dollar, and it's easy to see why so many run out of money. Lassiter Capital helps solve that problem by giving you access to real estate investments designed to generate income, protect against inflation, and provide huge tax advantages. Founder Ty Lassiter calls it the four keys to investment success. Visit LassiterCapital.com/Starnes or call 817-912-1569 to schedule your free consultation. And welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and we are working on getting some audio from a press conference that just ramped up from the Justice Department, Attorney General Pam Bondi. You know, today is the one-month anniversary of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. It happened on September the 10th, and There's still a lot that we don't know about what happened, and the investigation's underway, and I'm hoping that we will get to the bottom of all that. And my question to you is, do you think we will? Do you trust the FBI to get to the bottom of this? And I was watching Tucker Carlson last night. I was watching his podcast, and Tucker doesn't trust the FBI. And he said that if they eventually come out and say it was this one guy who shot Charlie, and it was because of what ideological differences, and that's it, no one else was involved, then Tucker believes that may very well fracture, or at least add to another fracture of this nation, of this country. And look, I think we always have to be respectful of the families of the victims, period. I mean, there's not a but, there's not a however. That's just how that has to be. The investigation, though, and you separate that from the actual police investigation and the work that the police are doing in trying to get to the bottom of all of this. And word came out yesterday, and we had heard this originally from the TPUSA folks who said that the bullet, that Charlie's body was so strong that it literally absorbed the bullet, and therefore the bullet did not go all the way through, that the bullet was still in his neck. And so now Candace Owens is coming out, and I know that a lot of you are just really confused about Candace Owens and Tucker, and I get that. I get it. And Megyn Kelly, to some extent. I understand that. But Candace Owens is now saying that her sources are saying the same thing. And if that's the case, if it's true that the bullet was still in his neck or was still in his body, then the argument being made now is there's no way that the gun used by the alleged gunman, Tyler Robinson, was the weapon that took out Charlie Kirk. There's just no way that happened. So we're going to get to some of that a little bit later on in the program. And I've got a lot more to say about that on this one month ago. We were literally on the air when it happened. Ladies and gentlemen, are you encouraged by the direction the country is going in after that moment? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98, and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Crazy story out of a place that I've mentioned several times on this program, Bucksnort, Tennessee. Bucksnort. If you've traveled along Interstate 40 outside, it's about an hour outside of Nashville. There was a massive explosion about an hour ago, and there's a military explosives facility, and they make the explosives used to demo buildings and things of that nature. There was a massive explosion, and when I say the entire complex was obliterated, there's nothing left. Everything, it was just a massive explosion. It created a mushroom cloud, and they said you could feel the blast from miles away. Knocked out power. It knocked out internet service as well. We understand from the Sheriff's Department, this is from CBS News. CBS News reporting the explosion at Accurate Energetic Systems. They say there are multiple dead and at least 19 people unaccounted for. And it's not good. It's pretty bad. Even the vehicles, the cars that were left in the parking lot were destroyed. That was the power of that blast. Also, we understand at Fort Campbell, there was some sort of an incident involving a vehicle. They have evacuated a large area around one of the entrances, suggesting there might be some sort of an explosive device in a car. So we'll keep you updated there. You know, one other thing about the Charlie Kirk thing, and for me, I will say this as the police, and you got to let the police investigate, and I get that. I just have a lot of questions, and when you've got people out there, and I'm assuming, and I'm just, folks, I will say this. Part of me understands why you if you're with Turning Point or whoever, and you don't want people asking questions, and I get that a lot. I understand that may be coming from a good place, all right? So that being said, I want to put Turning Point USA out of the picture for just a moment and just talk about the investigation and what the police are looking at and what they're telling us. Because early on, we were told that the weapon that was used fired a specific sort of a bullet. And many of you who are hunters, maybe you're a gun enthusiast, you would know that this particular bullet is called the 30-06. And the question is, if that was the bullet that was fired, I mean, that creates a massive amount of damage. So is it possible that another weapon was used? Is it possible that the weapon they have may not have been the one that was used to take out Charlie? Is it possible that other people were involved? This George Zinn guy that they keep talking about, he's the old guy that says, you know, he told police, I'm the guy that did it. I shot Charlie Kirk. Was this part of some sort of a coordinated effort and plan? Now, my sources are telling me, and again, I'd love to hear from somebody who's actually fired this sort of a weapon and has used this sort of ammo. But hunting rounds, as from what I'm being told, peel back and expand in width, especially considering the distance, and it could stay in the body considering the distance of the shot. But the military rounds do not expand, and they would likely go through. And you would need, again, some sort of a forensics person to answer that question. But I just have a lot of questions. Do I think that some people are out there trying to grift off of this and try to create division, or maybe someone's trying to expand their name and their brand? Yeah, I do. And that's happening all over the place. And it's just disgusting is what that is. It's just disgusting. But by and large, I think people are looking at what happened, and I think people are still shell-shocked over this, and I think that they are wondering, what does this mean for the future of conservatism? What does this mean for the future of the country? And those are all fair questions to ask. I think, though, that things are going to be okay. And I say that because, at least in, you know, the messages I'm getting from younger listeners, they're getting more engaged. They're starting Turning Point USA chapters at their local schools, their local universities, and the movement seems to be continuing. And I like that, and I think that's going to be a good thing. Let's go to the phones, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. John in Kentucky. John, what's on your mind?
Hey, Mr. Stearns. You asked an interesting question, the shape of our country right now. And I sincerely believe that this nation is more divided. I love your positivity about young people being more engaged, but I also believe that this is directly as a result of all the crap that they've been spewing from the left. I'm talking politicians at the highest level. They are the ones responsible for the death of Charlie Kirk. And I sincerely believe, and I want to hang up and listen for your response, I sincerely believe they were the ones responsible for his death because of all the bile that they're spewing. And these, what I call them, you know, sheeple, are following their narrative as well as the media. And they are looking for a shooting war. And I sincerely believe those young people that are starting these chapters need to be tactically trained, Todd. I really, really believe that, because the conservatives now are on a hunting list, and I sincerely believe that. I hope you wear body armor because we love you and respect you. But that's just what I believe. I encourage young people to debate and discuss things, but at the same time to be extremely careful. And a lot of these attacks are happening in what I consider gun-free zones, but Utah is a gun-friendly state. And again, I really believe the left is responsible. And they're causing more damage to our nation. And I believe, you know, we're trying to push back the right way. But I also believe that we're right now at the cartridge box. And I will listen and hang
on. Let me ask you this, John. Let me ask you this. You really think when you talk about civil war, because Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago, is out there. And, I mean, he's actually saying we will resist. And the implication is that we will fight back with force. You've got the police in Portland who are saying that they will direct their officers to protect Antifa, even if that means firing on, I guess, federal troops. You know, again, you have to extrapolate a little bit, but that's what they're saying. Okay. So you really think we're heading into that direction of some sort of a fracturing of the republic?
God, I pray God it's not true. But look, and then the left is blaming Israel, too, as well, God. Todd, you know, you like you said, you are well connected. But let me tell you something. These federal agents are trying to do their job and make this nation safe. But I believe that these cities and states are now in a state of insurrection, just what happened in 1860. And again, I will listen for your comment, Todd. And I love you, But please, Todd, be careful. I really mean that because we love you and respect you. Please, please.
All right, well, John, yeah, I appreciate that, and I appreciate your concern, and I know that we've, we do take a lot of precautions when we're out there, and we've had to reconfigure some of the things we do when I'm out speaking and out on the road, and it's sad, but, you know, you've got to practice some common sense, and you have to have some common sense about you. You heard John there, and he sounds almost a bit dejected. And almost as if it is inevitable that there is going to be some sort of a fighting war. It's certainly not going to be North versus South. I don't know, you know, left versus right. But some would already contend that the war has already started. And for the Democrats to get out there, and we heard this yesterday, Democrats are saying there is no Antifa. There is no such thing as Antifa. That there is no violence. That Portland and Chicago and Memphis are some of the most peaceful cities in America. I'm not believing that at all, and I know that you aren't either. So look, just a little while ago, Pam Bondi held a press conference. There was a very disturbing development involving a case that at the center of all of this is Benny Johnson, the conservative media influencer. He's based in Florida. A man has been arrested. His name is George Isabel. This man mailed a threat to Johnson's home, his personal home, just days after the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I want you to listen to the Attorney General, Pam Bondi.
Good morning. Thank you all for being here, and thank you, Lieutenant Governor, for being here. We've been living through a horrific cycle of political violence in this country. We've seen attacks against police officers, federal agents, including the deadly shooting in the ICE facility in Dallas. Night after night, Antifa wreaks havoc on our streets of our cities. In Minnesota, a gunman murdered a state lawmaker and her husband. It was horrific. An anti-Semitic lunatic tried to burn down Governor Shapiro's house while he was in it with his wife and young children. This week, authorities arrested a man outside a Catholic church in Washington, D.C., with hundreds of explosive devices. And on September 10th, our nation stopped in its tracks with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. We miss him dearly. Unfortunately, I'm here today to talk about similar threats that were made against Benny Johnson and his wife, Kate. Benny's a well-known media personality, carrying a message very similar to Charlie's, grounded largely in faith and love of country. Just days after Charlie's assassination, Benny received a letter at his home where he and Kate are raising their beautiful, beautiful young family. The author of this letter made it very clear that he hated Benny because of his views and he wanted Benny dead. This was a coward hiding behind a keyboard who thought he could get away with this. That's why we're standing up here today. You are not going to get away with threatening people in this way. And I'm proud to announce that we have arrested the author of this letter. George Isbell Jr. was taken into custody this morning, and we are charging him federally with mailing threatening communications. It is a crime, and if convicted, he is going to prison. This was incredible teamwork. Benny called me right away. Chief Burkhoff, thank you. You were on it right away. Matt Fodor and all the FBI agents. Thank you, U.S. Attorney Kehoe. All of the U.S. Postal Service, FBI, state and local law enforcement working together. This is what it's about. And we are going to catch you. If you think you can do something like this, we don't care if you're across the country in California, we will find you, we will arrest you, we will extradite you, and we will bring you to justice. We cannot allow this political violence to continue any longer. This arrest will serve as a reminder to many. Do not do this. We will find you. Greg Kehoe is going to give some details of the incident at the horrible crime. And we're not going to get into specifics of what's in the letter. It's pretty horrific, and it's now a pending case. But I just want to thank all of the law enforcement officers standing behind me. And I want to thank Benny and Kate for standing so strong and fighting for their views and not cowering in fear, but coming out and supporting their faith and their values. Thank you.
All right. That was the Attorney General. Now, Benny Johnson sharing some of the details and pretty graphic stuff. But this guy wanted to literally strangle Benny Johnson with the American flag. Benny and his wife have four young children. And the guy said that that Benny would be killed in an open field. How much blood? And he went into great description about how much blood would come out of his head and neck when it was blown off. He also described orphaning Benny's children and widowing Benny's wife with great joy. I mean, these are some violent people. And again, you go back and, I mean, what that guy wrote, I mean, and he's getting hauled in. My question is, why isn't Jay Jones, the attorney general, a candidate in Virginia, why isn't he in jail? I mean, this is insanity. So maybe to John's point from Kentucky calling in, maybe John does have a point here that the violence is ingrained. The violence is now within the DNA of the Democrat Party right now. And I don't see them recovering from this at all. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. People who do this, they deserve to go to jail for a very, very long time. We'll be right back, America.
The most trusted source for conservative news. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
And welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us on this Open Line Friday. Let's go to the phones, 901-260-5926. Athens, Georgia, home of the Georgia Bulldogs. Scott, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I just want to say that caller earlier is correct. President Trump's going to have to do what Teddy Roosevelt did in 1901 when William McKinley was killed. He's going to have to round up all these anarchists in the media, in Congress, in the colleges, everywhere, and he's going to have to round them up, incarcerate them, strip them of their citizenship, and deport them. And that's the only way that we're going to save the republic. I think we're fixing to have a communist revolution. We're having a communist revolution in this country.
Scott, that's an interesting observation, because there is it's almost to a point where it's not sustainable, the republic, right? Because of what's been happening in our education system. I mean, you have an entire generation, maybe two generations, that have been radicalized to a large extent. So the question is, can we undo the radicalization? And what do we do with all these people? You know, to your point, Teddy Roosevelt, this was called the Anarchist Exclusion Act, or the Immigration Act of 1903. Which ultimately led to the regulation of immigration. So what do you think we ought to do with all these anarchists? Boot them out of the country?
Yeah, that's what Teddy Roosevelt did. He had all these people that he booted out in 1901. Those are the ones that went over and started the Bolshevik Revolution in Europe. And it's just that he's going to have to do this. I mean, it's going to be unpopular. He's going to have to find a backbone. He's going to have to find some gonads. And he's going to have to do this. It's going to be very unpopular, and he's probably going. It's going to be very difficult to do. But it's going to either that, or we're going to lose our country.
Well, it's a fair point you raise, Scott. And again, Teddy Roosevelt, and really going all the way back to 1798. So you're talking about our founding fathers now. You know, they wanted to make sure that we were not raising up a mob of people that would try to, you know, oppose or fight against organized government. So they got the heave-ho out of the country.
Well, that's what we're going to have to do. Like I said, Roosevelt did it because of William McKinley. Was assassinated by these anarchists. They were planting bombs in Chicago. They blew up a big market in Chicago in the 1890s. I mean, they were killing people in Europe. It was a massive terrorist back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and And Teddy Roosevelt just stepped in and had every one of these people rounded up all over the country, everywhere.
Well, there was a caveat, Scott. We're talking about foreign anarchists that were rounded up. So if you're born on American soil, the question is, okay, what do we do with those anarchists? I mean, that's a broader question. Scott, I got to run, my friend. That music's going to cut us off. But thank you for that great history lesson. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. It's Open Line Friday. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. This is Todd Starnes. Happy Friday to you. It is also Open Line Friday. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So a lot happening today. Open Line Friday. Whatever you want to talk about, we're going to talk about today. Also, Marjorie Taylor Greene is making some headlines. So she's been making some visits to CNN. And here is Marjorie Taylor Greene. Cut number 4, please.
Oh, I don't think it's good advice that a government shutdown is going to help Republicans in the midterms. I don't agree with that. I also don't think it's good advice that Republicans ignoring the health insurance crisis is going to be good for midterms. I actually think that would be very bad for midterms. And I think that just not staying focused on America First policies is detrimental as well.
Yeah, and on that note, are you concerned about the cost of living?
Very.
That the President Trump said he would lower.
The inflation crushed people in the past 4.5 years, and the costs have not come down. Mm. I myself can tell you my apartment here in Washington, D.C., the electricity bill is $100 more than it was last year, because you can look at your own bill and look at cost. Prices have not come down. That is a reality. People's wages have not gone up. That's another reality. And so Americans are continuing to have a very difficult time getting by. And I'll go a step further. I'm a mom. And so when it comes to what is affecting my adult children's lives, who are 22, 26, and 28, I'm going to be 1,000% fighting for them over any politician and any party. And I can tell you right now, that generation, they are barely making it, and they're very hopeless for their future.
So I'm just wondering, is that true? Young people of America, are you feeling hopeless? Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, are you seeing that in your kids or grandkids, what Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying? I will say this, that there was a survey done about the economy, and a majority of Americans are just really, really concerned about the state of the economy. Now, it depends on how much money you have in the bank account, I suppose, as to whether or not you feel like things are getting desperate or dire. But MTG is painting a pretty bleak painting of where we are as a country right now. And I'm curious if she's off her rocker, if she's speaking truth to power here, or what's going on. Now, she's also going after Republican leadership in the House and the Senate. And I've eased up on that a little bit, only because it seems to me they've been doing the right thing here by standing their ground. But MTG believes that if this shutdown is not resolved, that it will hurt the Republicans in the midterm elections. Now, Politico has a piece up, Faith Wardwell is the writer. And Marjorie is saying that she's not blaming President Trump for the shutdown. She's blaming Speaker Johnson and Leader Thune. She said the shutdown should never have happened. Green has continued, reading from the piece here, continued to be a thorn in the side of Republican leadership in recent weeks, splitting with the president and the Republicans on a string of topics, calling the war in Gaza a genocide, campaigning for the release of files related to Jeffrey Epstein, and pushing for an extension of enhanced Affordable Care Act subsidies. Green says, we control the House, we control the Senate, we had the White House. I've been vocal saying that you can use the nuclear option in the Senate. This doesn't have to be a shutdown. But what we have to do is we have to work for the American people, and our country is so divided right now. Speaker Mike Johnson brushed aside the criticism, saying that Green does not serve on the committees of jurisdiction to deal with those issues, and she's probably not read in on that. In other words, he's calling her stupid. That's what he's calling her. Wow. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, is Marjorie Taylor Greene off her rocker here, or does she have a point? Are you concerned about the state of the economy? You know, I was talking to somebody just the other day, and there are a lot of charities, and here in the Memphis area, we happen to be, according to one poll out there, one of the most philanthropic cities in America. And a lot of the charities around the Memphis area have been struggling to get donations. They've been doing the big fundraisers and the galas, and just about every single charity, major charity out there, is saying, you know what, we're having some problems here. People aren't donating as much as they used to. As a matter of fact, in some churches, I was reading a report a few days ago that even some churches now, they've noticed a slide in the tithes and offerings. People are not giving their 10%. And people are really, really concerned that maybe this could be a bellwether, that maybe with the charitable giving being so down, that there could be some truth to the fact that the American people are struggling right now a little bit with the economy. And I know a lot of people in the conservative world are afraid to mention anything about that because they don't want to appear to be anti-Trump. But if you're not able to pay your bills and you're working your butt off and you're seeing that prices are going up, that's not on Trump. It's not on you either. But that's just the reality of where we are. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines. Alabama. Anthony is on the line. So, Anthony, what do you say about MTG?
I don't know if she's out of her mind or not. And by the way, thanks for taking my call there, Mr. Starnes. I appreciate it. But I don't know what she proposes to get the government opened up. If maybe the Republicans had, you know how they're kind of weaselly sometime and they're kind of like weak. But, you know, the fact is the government's shut, part of it shut down. And what does she propose? For the Republicans to give the Democrats what they want right now? I mean, that's insanity, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. But I think her bigger issue is there's bad blood between her and Speaker Johnson. We look, the Senate has been a cold fish for a long time, and I get that. But I think the bigger issue is Speaker Johnson.
Yes, I agree with you with that. And you know, but yeah, it's a little late, and then you got the guy who runs the Democrats in the House saying that it's time for the Republicans to come back and be bipartisan. Well, bipartisan, that means the Republicans give the Democrats whatever they want, correct?
Pretty much. And that's why, look, this is why I'm praising leadership right now. They need some positive affirmation, and they're doing, they're finally standing their ground here. And that's why I'm like, you know what? Good job, guys. Just keep it up.
I'm not a big fan of the Speaker of the House, but yeah, he's actually coming out and he's doing something. But Thune's a guy that really can't be trusted because I read today that he's on Trump about now that the government's shut down, Trump has a good chance of firing a whole lot of people, which would really cut a lot of the spending. Thune doesn't want that to happen. So you see, Trump's battling both sides. He's battling the Democrats and he battles the Republicans also. So
why do you think that is? Again, we should have already been firing people. I mean, right? Nobody's done that. We're what, day 10, day 11? Yeah.
I think Trump's, somebody's got Trump's ear. You know, there's Susie Wiles in there and in his inner circle. A lot of information doesn't get to him. And I think that it's a lot of things that I don't think Trump's that smart, or maybe when it comes to the Constitution. Like, you know, he should have already invoked the Insurrection Act. That should have been done already, and it hasn't been done. And he should never come out and say, he's thinking about doing this and he's thinking about doing that. So I think he's a little bit weak on the constitutional stuff. And who, you know, he's got handlers. He has advisors. Who's advising him? Who's handling? What are they advising him? So I think that may be a big problem with Trump. We saw this when he was president in 2016. No?
Well, We did see that, and I'd like to think the president has learned his lesson. I certainly hope so, but maybe not in some instances, and that's what concerns me, because you're right, Insurrection Act, it already should have been invoked. And look, he is doing the same thing that he complained about Israel, and Israel was basically, and my understanding is, that Israel wanted to go in, and they just wanted to take care of Hamas right away. And it would have been it would have been fast, and it would have been horrifying, but it would have already been over. But somebody in the administration said, no, you've got to slow it down. And whoever said that to Israel, I guarantee you they're saying that to President Trump right now.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, doing the right thing is hard, and you're gonna you know, make a lot of people angry about it, but it has to be done. And if you try to straddle that line all the time, you're going to be mediocre. You're going to be, you know, in the Bible, the Lord talks about spitting out the people who are in the middle. You know, he'd rather you be hot or cold, not lukewarm. And you keep this lukewarm stuff, it's just not going to get it.
Look, here's the deal. Here's the deal. It's always going to be ugly, right? Media, they're never going to change their stripes, okay?
That's right.
So go in there, do what needs to be done, clean house, go to Portland, go to Chicago. If the mayor is standing there and refuses to budge, throw the mayor in jail, charge him with obstruction. But it does frustrate me. Anthony, you already got me worked up here. My blood pressure was fine. It was a leisurely Friday. But now you got me fired up again.
Well, I got you thinking, don't I, Mr. Starnes?
Well, look, you bring a lot to the table here, and you're absolutely right. And I understand MTG. The challenge is a lot of times these folks go out there and they're dropping bombs, and so many bombs that when they actually come out with something that, you know, this makes sense, nobody's paying attention to them.
That's true. Well, you know what? They burn their bridges a lot of times, but first and foremost, they're politicians, and they're going to politic.
Well, no doubt about that. No doubt about that.
Right.
All right, Anthony, thank you for the call, and thank you for getting my blood pressure up. Speaker Johnson, by the way, he is enraged, as enraged as Speaker Johnson can be. And it turns out that Schumer, who's responsible for the shutdown, plans to keep the government closed. So there are no more votes until, I think, Tuesday. And the reason why is they're going to have a bunch of anarchists marching in Washington, and shutdown Schumer doesn't want them lashing out at him. So the government is staying closed. Take a listen to Speaker Johnson, Cut 13.
A very patient guy, but I have had it with these people. They're playing games with real people's lives. The theory we have right now, they have a Hate America rally that's scheduled for October 18th on the National Mall. It's all the pro-Hamas wing and the Antifa people. They're all coming out. Some of the House Democrats are selling T-shirts for the event, and it's being told to us that they won't be able to reopen the government until after that rally because they can't face their rabid base. I mean, this is serious business hurting real people. And I'm beyond words. I can't believe they're actually doing this.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, you're talking about that No Kings rally. Real quickly before we move on to another topic.
So can I just say, I really want to love our speaker. I really do. Even though he keeps promising to come on the show and keeps canceling. But I want to say something about Speaker Johnson. That was angry, Speaker Johnson. I'm really angry. I'm really upset. Got my goat. He's got my goat. That old Chucky Schumer, he's got my goat, and I'm really mad now. I'm like, okay, dude, dude, you gotta have a little bit more fire in the belly, Mr. Speaker. You've gotta have some more fire in the belly. But anyway, that's Speaker Johnson. He's really upset. I wonder if his blood pressure's up a few notches. I'm just wondering. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. I don't know. Would you like to see Trump just play hardball here? Because we're not playing hardball. I don't know what we're playing. We're out there making a lot of threats. We're out there saying, well, if you do this one more time. All right, well, how many times are we going to keep saying that? Let's just go in, root out the bad guys, deport everybody, and don't even get me started on deportations, because we're nowhere near the deportation numbers that we ought to be at. I'm just asking, can we get back to, I don't know, Barack Obama campaign or deportation numbers? Is that possible for a Republican administration to do? I don't know. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Wow, just to give you an update, we have 1,000 National Guard troops now boots on the ground in Memphis. It's really remarkable. Almost 2,000 federal officers and folks, they are hauling in just about every bad guy you can imagine. It's really a remarkable thing to see. So we'll keep you updated on those developments. I'm just telling you, every single person you talk to, they are so thankful that the National Guard is here. All right, let's go to Hot Springs, Arkansas. David is on the line. Hi, David. What's going on?
Well, I got some complaints here about Mr. Trump. I have supported Trump both times, funded his campaign both times, and he talks a lot of crap here about this and that and the other, but don't follow through. Like the example of that would be the Doge cuts. We were supposed to all get $5,000. You know what? I ain't got that check yet. We were supposed to get $2,500 from these tariffs. I ain't got that yet. I think he's a lot of talk. And when it comes to the economy, because he hadn't done a whole lot, because everything's still going up. As an example of that, my feed cost for my farm has skyrocketed. And we're not getting any help from them, from the government on that. And an example of that, my normal feed bill used to be before Biden hit was around, so, $300 a week, maybe $400 on feed. And now it's almost $800. And I was talking, and if you listen to the farmers, they're complaining about the low prices, but that's not translating over to the actual products. And I think Trump could do a whole lot more than what he's doing. Matter of fact, I have sent him several hot letters about what's going on with that blame governor up there. And he's not helping the average American. He is not helping the average American.
So David, we're going to open up the phone lines here coming up after this quick break. And I would like to hear from farmers, because I've been reading reports that farmers are really struggling, that their prices are going up, and their bank accounts are dwindling. There is a new report out. This is from thehill.com. 7 in 10 said the U.S. economy is on the wrong track. And ladies and gentlemen, I mean, you heard David. He's a Trump supporter, but he's got some issues with the president on the economy. And by the way, they floated the idea of those $5,000 checks, but I think that's about as far as that went. I wouldn't be holding your breath for the Doge check. I'm just saying. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And welcome back. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend, Joe Messina, nationally syndicated radio host. Joe, hope you're doing well today out in California.
Oh, get me out of here, Todd.
Is it that bad, Joe? What's going on now?
I think it's getting worse, Todd. I mean, seriously, you look at the governor right now. I don't know if you guys read this. Governor Newsom actually turned down almost $300 million. He refused to give that to the firefighters here in California, you know, giving them raises and the equipment that they needed. After spending $250 million to, for redistricting. And then another $30 million because they made a mistake on the ballots they sent out. So they had to redo them and send them out again. So they spent almost $300 million on him fighting something that looks in the polls like it's going to go down in flames. And yet the firefighters won't have the money they need to fight the fires here in California. And guess who he's blaming, Todd? I'm sure you're a very smart man.
Wow.
Trump's fault.
Of course. It's always Donald Trump's fault with this guy. Always.
Always.
Can we talk about Katie Porter for just a moment?
And, oh, God.
Wow. I thought, how bad could it get? And now video has surfaced of Katie Porter dressed as Batwoman or Batgirl.
Oh, she's... Go ahead.
Have you heard about this?
Oh, yeah. Listen, she is. She has had this kind of character for years out here. Everybody knows what she's like. And very few people really like her. I don't know how she gets elected, Todd. And now she's, you know, looking to run for governor. She is a nasty human being. I don't know any other way to put it.
I mean, the way, you know, her staff is now leaking a lot of these videos where I guess she was doing some sort of a Zoom or a podcast thing in her home, in her kitchen, which, by the way, if you've seen the video, she really needs to do an upgrade. That kitchen, that's like, really? That's like from the 80s.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I mean, I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, but look at her dress and look at her hairstyle. She doesn't change anything. As a matter of fact, she doesn't even change her character. Again, she's been caught yelling at staff in the past. She's been caught yelling at her constituents at town hall meetings and such. She's just a nasty woman. I mean, we didn't see that with Harris on the front end most of the time. You saw that on the back end, right? We saw videos. We had whistleblowers. Her staff was leaving. They seem to have a mantra in that pool of elected officials, and they're just not good people. And she really isn't. The stuff that she has done here in California, even parental rights stuff in the past, where she has said, "You know what? We'll let the kids decide." Like, wait a minute, what?
Is she,
the kids?
I mean, she did the interview with the CBS affiliate in Sacramento, and that was a complete disaster. And she, you know, lost her mind there, lost her marbles. I think there was an ex-husband that she threw mashed potatoes at, hot mashed potatoes.
Hot mashed potatoes on his, yeah. I'm sorry.
And she's the front runner. I mean, she's the best the Democrats have. Not even Kamala Harris. It's Katie Porter.
No, it's, I got to tell you, Todd, here in California, the Democrats have done a great job in painting Republicans as just being the devil's second cousin, you know, and everything that goes wrong in the state, the high gas prices, the higher prices at the supermarket, the high taxes, all of that is the fault of the Republicans and Donald Trump. And I'm amazed, and I got a lot of good Democrat friends. There's a lot of good Democrats out there, and I've got a lot of good Democrat friends that really don't know who's causing these issues. When you go to the gas pumps, they're talking about terrorists and the Democrats are talking about terrorists and embargoes done by the Republicans, and that's why we have these high gas prices. It's not true. If you do just a little bit of homework, you find out that here in California, we have what's called a summer blend. It adds about 45 to 50 cents a gallon to the cost of gasoline here because of the state. And now that we're losing some refineries, you're going to see the cost of gas may go to $6, $7, $8 a gallon. If he can't fix this, and I don't think he really wants to, but
Joe, I'm curious. When you look at I think the last poll I saw, and if there's a new one, please correct me here. The last poll I saw was from Emerson College, and that was back in August. And Porter was leading all the candidates at that point with 18% of the vote. Steve Hilton was coming in second. He's the Republican at 12%. Then
right.
Chad Bianco. 7% and Antonio Villaraigosa at 5%, and then everybody else is in single digits from there. So my question is, does Steve Hilton actually have a shot here?
Well, in California, we have what's called a guerrilla primary, right?
Right.
It's the top. It's the two top vote getters. It's not the top Republican, the top Democrat. And in that case, based on who's in the race, I think she still has a shot at being, you know, among the top two. Now, you want to move it in the general election. If Republicans do it the right way and not how they always do it, they will run ad after ad, billboard after billboard, mailer after mailer of her yelling at her staff, her saying that she doesn't need Republican votes or MAGA votes. She doesn't have to do anything with those people. And show the elitism of that woman. She really acts like an elitist, like she's got the answers and you have no clue.
Oh, by the way, Kamala Harris, you know, she needs to visit Betty Ford. I think that's really the issue.
Well, maybe her and Pelosi can get a twofer, you know.
We should book her a room. Yeah, book the suite at the Betty Ford Clinic. Man, we can't even play some of the audio because her language is so foul.
Well, I think we can get a whole floor at the field at the Betty Ford Clinic if you really want to get into it. But Harris's language, but it's, you know, Todd, it's becoming more and more acceptable. You and I have been doing this for a long time. You never would have seen this 15 years ago. You would never even seen an inference to these kind of languages. And now it's not even. They kind of go into it. Now they just say it, and they say it more than once, and it's amazing. Your kids can't even sit there and watch a political speech from any one of these people without having to hear that, you know, those words.
I know. I never thought I'd. I mean, Kamala Harris is saying "mother fornicator" over and over and over again. Mother fornicator, this. Yep. Mother. I mean, I'm sorry, mother fornicata. So that, she doesn't say the R. It's,
Right to Todd, not Joe.
Joe Messina joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from beautiful Santa Clarita, California. Joe, here in Memphis, we have the National Guard. They arrived yesterday. They're patrolling the streets now. We have about, I think, all total, close to 2,000 federal officers, you know, here in the city. And everybody's loving it except for the Democrat lawmakers. You know, that they are on the side of the criminals here.
Oh, so you're for President Trump taking over in a military way of all these cities? No, I'm just kidding with you, Todd. It just seems like the Democrats keep pushing forward with look at Portland, look at Chicago, look at all these cities where they truly need the help. And they tell, I mean, they, I'm telling you, I don't know what drug they're taking, what air they're breathing. They're telling you that we don't need it. We're fine. We're good. And yet there where you're at, I mean, your governor is welcoming them in, is he not?
Well, you know, he's one of those Republicans.
Yeah.
But the rest of us are.
No, the people on the streets, when you see them in Chicago and you see them in Portland, you see them there, you know, people go, thank you. They're thanking them for coming in.
Yeah.
They're asking them, you know, hey, you guys be safe. I mean, I'm listening to the comments they're making as these guys are walking by. So I don't know what alternate universe these Democrats are living in. You know, are they that evil? Are they that confused? Are they that ideological? I don't know. I just don't understand. I don't think either one of us really understands how they're coming to these conclusions. It's just mind-boggling.
We had an elected official here. Her name is Tammy Sawyer, the General Sessions court clerk. She tried to enter the courthouse with her armed security, private armed security. This woman, by the way, says Memphis is the safest city in America. Okay, well, why do you need armed security, lady? But there's a rule, Joe Messina, you're not allowed to bring weapons into the courthouse. And she got into it is brutal, and it's all captured on body cam footage, but she was screaming and berating the officers. There is a white deputy, and she called him a white supremacist and used language that would make Katie Porter blush. I mean, it was really bad. And just going at it, and so now she's blaming Donald Trump for all of this. She said that she's suffering from anxiety because of the federal occupation of Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah, don't you love that, how they use those words? The federal, they're all using those words. So you know that they're being coaxed. Is the
right
word they use.
And her butt ought to be in jail. If it had been any other, and let me say this, if that had been a white lawmaker talking to black deputies like that, Memphis would be burning right now. I'm just telling you. Double standard.
We need A.G. Messina. I'm seriously, because I mean, I'd be locking people up left and right. I mean,
If no one
is truly above the law, then no one is truly above the law. And for them to call our wonderful federal agents occupiers, and yet all those people who came over the border, all the illegals that came over the border were shipped into these cities. They're citizens. I mean, notice the you watch this. Notice the terminologies they use. You know, our citizens in the city of Chicago. No, they're not citizens. It's amazing to me. They do it with a straight face, and you know, you've got the guy in the mayor of Chicago making safe spaces. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
It's a little too far now, is it not?
It's crazy. Joe, we got to leave it there, my friend. Always good hearing from you, sir.
Always a lot of fun.
And Joe, tell people where they can go to get all your info.
I hope I made it really easy. It's joemessina.com. It's joemessina.com. It's all there. Stations, times, all of that.
All right. Go check him out, folks. The great Joe Messina, joemessina.com. All right. Thanks, Joe. 901-260-5926. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. We'll head over to the beautiful state of Wyoming. Tyler is on the line. Hi, Tyler. What's going on?
Beautiful state of Wyoming said no one ever. it's a bunch of rocks mostly.
Well, they're pretty rocks.
I appreciate the compliment just the same. Politically, Wyoming should be right between Florida and Georgia, I think. We have a lot of rhinos, but mostly Republicans. The reason I'm calling you today, I listened to you on the Salem podcast, and it's been getting posted later and later and later, so people out here can't get it until, you know, after 5 p.m. local time. I wanted to let you know about that. There's a real problem there. The thing I wanted to ask you about is I'm going to be doing an initiative here in Wyoming called Restore the Representative Relationship. And the key problem is that our elected representatives no longer have any incentive to connect with or listen to the citizen. Thanks to the flawed court rulings like the Citizens versus United, the politicians are free to collect money from all corners of the world. They don't have any reason to focus on the constituents at all.
So what would you, in a nutshell, Tyler, because I actually am intrigued here because we just had a special election in the state of Tennessee, and most of the money that the ultimate winner got was from out-of-state donors, not necessarily the people that actually live in the congressional district. So what are you recommending for there in Wyoming?
Well, one partial solution is for the citizens who live in the states with ballot initiative processes to bypass the political class altogether and initiate campaign finance reform. I know that if I mention that term, campaign finance reform, most people's eyes glaze over, but it's really the heart of the problem. To accomplish the change, we need to have a law amendment that basically says that only those citizens whose principal domicile, as documented on their federal tax return, which is located in a particular state or district, can contribute to races in that district or for statewide races in the state. And what this will do is that you basically will have to say that the money coming for District 12 will only be able to come from citizens whose principal domicile are in that district. Not corporations, not people in Guatemala, not the drug cartels. Since the donations will be restricted to be only from citizens in those districts, what it means is that you'll eliminate the current fallacy of double representation for people who work for corporations. That's because corporations, contrary to what Justice Roberts thinks, are not really citizens, but the people who work there are.
Well, let me jump in here, Tyler, because I know you're very passionate about this, but my clock is very passionate, too, and it is telling me we have to take a break. But I like this idea a lot. And again, I feel like one of the ways that our Congress has been corrupted is that most of the money that our lawmakers are getting is not coming from their individual districts. And I think that does need to be fixed, and that does need to be remedied. Otherwise, you're just going to have a bunch of billionaires and special interest groups that are controlling Congress. And I see your point there. Tyler, I got to run. Great call. And we're going to check on that podcast situation for you. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
truth and nothing but the truth. You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, Gainesville, Georgia on deck. Let's go to Jerry listening to WDUN. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind today?
I've got a different take on what happened to Charlie Kirk. That's very interesting. I haven't heard anybody look at it the way I look at it.
Yeah, what you got for us?
Okay. First of all, I'm not a religious fanatic, but I am a man of faith. And I believe God works in great ways. And we tend to not understand God's purpose or the power of his purpose. So, and people, I was talking the other day to somebody, and they said, talking about Charlie Kirk. I said, Charlie Kirk wasn't assassinated. And they say, what? I said, he wasn't assassinated. I said, there was a shooter, and he fired a, but all he did was fire a bullet. And there was a bullet that hit a vacant body, a vacated body. I said, because the coroner said Charlie felt no pain, he would died instantly. I honestly believe God took Charlie out of that body before it ever hit. And your question about how powerful that bullet was and the rifle, God can stop anything. And I think God stopped that bullet in Charlie Kirk's body. And when I say that, because this is how I felt, I think God, he felt that Charlie Kirk's legacy would be so much greater than what he could have done if he had lived and went on. And we see it happening right now. And that's how I feel it. God, I mean, before that bullet hit him, Jesus had him in his arms and had him in heaven. And, I mean, I cried all day the day he got killed. I mean, I love Charlie Kirk and everything, and I did, I cried. But I just feel like that a single bullet, looking at all these other things and everything, and I was there. I mean, I was listening to all the things. I heard one shot. And next thing you know, and I was actually listening to you the day he got shot. I was listening to your program.
We were interviewing Senator James Langford when it happened, and we interrupted the conversation. Yeah. I remember like it was yesterday that that happened.
Mm. But I mean, Charlie's legacy is going not. He's not going to stop. I mean, his legacy is going to go on and on for a long time.
Well, I certainly hope so, and that's going to be on Turning Point too. You know, one of the challenges that Turning Point always had, they did not have a lot of infrastructure built in. It was really built around one person, and so now the big challenge is, okay, we've got to grow this, and it's growing quickly, so how do we build the infrastructure? But I'm with you, and I think the legacy is going to continue. I got to run, Jerry. Thank you for that. Hang tight, everybody. Hour 3 of the big show coming up.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. It is Friday. It is Open Line Friday. That means we take your calls. No matter what you want to talk about, we will take your call today. Whether you agree, disagree, and by the way, if you disagree, you go right to the top of the lineup there. Our telephone number, write this down, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always an honor to be able to talk to our friend, the great Congressman Mike Rulli from Ohio's 6th Congressional District. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I know you've got to be feeling a little good because your Twitter page is filled, your X page, rather, is filled with all sorts of news surrounding President Trump's big announcement yesterday, signing a proclamation bringing back Columbus Day. And he says, we're back, Italians, we're back.
Thank God. We finally have a patriot in the Italian Americans of America. You know, just a real quick history. People have to realize why Christopher Columbus Day got his own day. in the 1890s, and Speaker Johnson and Steve Scalise, who are from the New Orleans area, are working with me right now. We are going to improve the site in New Orleans where the lynchings, and I mean lynchings, this was one of the largest public lynchings in American history, where in the 1890s, they accused an Italian-American of some kind of crime, and they said he attacked a woman. So they went to the jail. They took all the Italian immigrants that were in jail. They brought them right into the square in New Orleans, and they hung them from every tree. Dozens of them. Dozens and dozens of them. President Grover Cleveland felt horrible about it. And he says, you know what? We're going to turn this horrible act into something beautiful. We are going to celebrate Christopher Columbus, who is misunderstood throughout the history books, of his discovery of America as a day to celebrate not only Christopher Columbus, but being an Italian-American and how the Italians were welcome to come to America and help build, or I should say rebuild, the great America after the Industrial Revolution. And the Irish and the Italians and the Germans all came over through Ellis Island, and we worked our hearts out, and we built us into the great superpower that we are. Because American history is amazing. These people that are so warped on how they interpret American history and how they hate America because they hate themselves, because they don't believe in God. All they believe is the government. Their moms never hugged them. Todd, I could go on forever. They are so wrong. Thank God we have President Trump solidify Christopher Columbus Day. I am so happy, my friend.
You know, what's fascinating about that just horrible, ugly moment in American history where this was 1891, and some of the people who were lynched were actually acquitted of their crime the day before, and yet they were still lynched. And it was to this day, it remains one of the country's largest single lynchings.
It's unbelievable. And you know what, though? And people shouldn't feel so bad. We learn from our history. If you're an Italian-American, not that you celebrate the lynching, but you think, oh, my God, how wonderful is it America to realize we do some things wrong and we make up for it? You know, one of my favorite subjects is the Great American Civil War. And, you know, of course slavery was horrible. Now, it was the Republican Party, just for the record, that actually solved the situation. And it is the Republican Party that was against the KKK, the Democrat Dixiecrats. It was the Republican Party that was against basically everything from the KKK. We were against Jim Crow laws. Don't forget Senator Byrd from West Virginia. He was a KKK grandmaster. Don't forget who said his eulogy. President Biden, Hillary Clinton. So you tell me who's the party of freedom. However, such a horrible institution of slavery was fixed with 600,000 Union boys going to their death to get rid of it. You know why? Because America does better. Mm-hmm. We realize that we are a flawed people. We will work at it, and we'll work on it every day. I wish all these people out there that said free Palestine, you all know Code Pink came after me. I had more death threats over Code Pink coming after me because they kept saying, how about the kids of Palestine? How about the kids of Palestine? Well, how about them? It looks like our Prince of Peace, you know, President Donald Trump knew all about them, and he did the hard work. He went to Saudi Arabia. He went to all these different countries and had them work together, and now we have peace again. How come he didn't get the Nobel Peace Prize, Todd?
That's a good question. I mean, and it's a fair question, and we know the reason why. They're never going to honor the man, and that's okay, because I don't think he needs it. I mean, he deserves it, but, you know, we can honor him, and I think that would hopefully mean more that the American people are just so grateful that their sons and daughters are not being shipped off to fight somebody else's war again, Congressman. I want to go back because, again, this is important, and this is a part of American history they do not teach in the classrooms. Congressman, I was not aware of the origins of Columbus Day, and it was President Benjamin Harrison who stepped in and said, we got to make this right. When the lynchings happened, Italy was so enraged, they literally cut off diplomatic relations, and there was even talk of war, that Italy was going to go to war with the United States over this. The Italian council got involved, and we eventually ended up paying, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to make amends for the Italians who were lynched in New Orleans. And it wasn't until 2019 that the city actually formally apologized for killing the Italians.
It's really something. You know, I'm the chairman of the Italian American Caucus of Congress. I'm also a Third Degree Knight of Columbus. My family's had an Italian grocery store since 1917. Having said all that, you know, Todd, one of the most amazing things, all my grandparents were born there. When you go over to my grandma Lily's house, you'd go inside, and as soon as you walked into their foyer, you would see on the wall, she had her manifest from the ship that she came over from. She would have her Ellis Island papers. She'd have her green card, and then she'd have everything about her when she actually got sworn in as an actual American citizen. They were so happy with the journey and the process. My one grandma, Giannini, was stuck in Ellis Island for an extra year because she had a lung problem, so they wouldn't release her until she was actually cleared. And not only that, I could barely understand Italian. You know why? Because we were not allowed to speak Italian. We had to assimilate. And so that was the biggest thing in the world. We wanted to assimilate, and we wanted to be proud of our heritage and proud of who we were. And that's what we're getting back to. And I think that's what Latino America is starting to realize, is that we welcome you. Just come legally. Thank God Kristi Noem did that little app, you know, so we have 1.2 million illegals that self-deported. It's all tied together. Christopher Columbus Day is a prime example of what we're doing so we can show the country how you assimilate. Remember, what was it, Michael Savage, borders, language, and culture. That's not a crazy thing. That's a normal thing.
That's it. Before we switch over, and I want to talk about the shutdown, but Senator Ted Cruz is doing something, again, I had no idea. That beautiful, massive sculpture in front of Union Station in Washington, D.C., that is the Christopher Columbus Fountain, which has been broken for years. And now there's going to be an effort to actually restore the fountain so waters are once again flowing at Columbus Fountain.
Isn't that beautiful? I absolutely love that. And, you know, they're trying to piggyback it with Indigenous Peoples Day. So I have a bill, and Senator Cruz, I think, is going to be getting involved with this, too, where we're going to make you, if you're in the United States of America, we want you to only celebrate Columbus Day. We will have a day for Indigenous Peoples Day, but not Columbus Day. It was very specific, and Todd just went through why. So we're going to leave that alone, and if you don't play along, you're going to lose federal dollars. You know, we're going to take back normal. And, you know, I'm so excited that Senator Cruz is doing this. I've been there for almost 2 years now, and I've never seen one drop of water flow out of that fountain. So thank God for Senator Cruz. Great job, my friend. And I'm really excited about this new arc, the arc of, of our 250th anniversary. I mean, to bring back splendor and bring back all kind of beauty to our capital city. When you're in Washington right now, it's the safest. I still don't think we've had a murder. I think it's like 43 days of no murders. We haven't had that since the 1950s. Trump's vision for this country, it actually works, Todd.
It does. It does. Congressman, I want to switch over real quick to the shutdown. We now know it's not going to, at least through next Tuesday, government is shutting down. Speaker Johnson's pretty upset about this. He says that shutdown Schumer is doing this intentionally because of the No Kings March and all the Antifa folks, and they don't want them to turn on the Democrats, which is why they're holding out here.
Well, I mean, Speaker Johnson, between him and the president, they just do such great work with, they unite our conference. And our conference is a lot different than the Democrats. It's a very large tent. You know, we got guys in New York that are as moderate could be. We have far right wingers that, you know, don't want to hear anything about it. And we all get together for the benefit of the cause. Keeping something, when your liberal friends are fighting with you, and all the liberals out there that are listening to Todd, because they know you listen, first of all, it's 24-page CR. Most CRs are 2,000-4,000 pages. It's the skinniest CR. You guys played your cards wrong. You should have signed the skinny CR, and you should have had this battle in November, because no one's believing the crap that you're selling. Schumer slipped yesterday. We all saw him punch bowl what he said. He says every day that the government shut down is a great day for Democrats. Uh-oh, you said the quiet part out loud there, buddy. And then you saw Maxine Waters on the steps saying we're only doing this so illegals can get their health care. That's the sauce right there. So I sit in energy and commerce. So I did all that work in our committee. And that $435 billion that we saved the American people to secure your Medicaid, to secure your Medicare, to secure your Social Security, so it actually lasts your lifetime instead of just being squandered on illegal aliens. We took it away from the illegal aliens, and we took it away from the able bodies 20 to 40 years old. That's all we did. And they were more concerned about non-citizens getting their Social Security, their Medicaid, and the Medicaid than you. The working Joe Bag of Donuts, the guy that wakes up every morning at 6 o'clock, works his 50-hour week, is lucky if he'll ever enjoy his life at the end of it, and they're just squandering your life, my friends. If you're still voting Democrat, I don't know what planet you're living on, Todd.
Yeah. Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there, my friend. Always good hearing from you, and keep fighting the good fight.
You're the best, Todd. I really appreciate you.
All right. Congressman Mike Rulli, ladies and gentlemen, from the great state of Ohio. And he is fired up. I love hearing that. We got to take a quick break, though. It is Open Line Friday. Are you excited that Columbus Day is Columbus Day again? Bye-bye, Indigenous People Day. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hear what's happening from Todd along with the biggest newsmakers first on the Todd Stern Show.
Well, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2. We're also expecting to hear from the president. He'll be making an announcement from the Oval Office later this evening. That will happen during our show, so hope you tune in and you watch that news. Well, just before Charlie Kirk passed, he issued a warning about the dangers and threats ahead for those who stand for truth. And Charlie wrote about this in the foreword for a new book called Pagan Threat. It's authored by Pastor Lucas Miles, who actually heads up Turning Point Faith. And Charlie wrote in the book that Pagan Threat could provide the solutions to saving America. Charlie said you got to read the book, got to internalize the book, you got to share the book. And it has a plan to stop the wokeism infecting America. It's already a number one bestseller, and it has been for a while. Now, you can get a copy of the book free of charge. That's a $30 offer, and it's courtesy of Newsmax. Go to PaganThreat.com. That's PaganThreat.com right now. PaganThreat.com, and you'll be able to get Newsmax's special offer and receive Pagan Threat free of charge. And also, don't forget to download the Newsmax app on your smartphone. Millions of people are already doing that as well. All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Mike in Memphis, Tennessee. Mike, what's on your mind today?
Greetings, Todd. I called about the appointment, nomination, and confirmation of David Dunneman for U.S. Attorney that Marsha Blackburn, and I don't oppose Marsha Blackburn, except the fact that she confirmed a guy who's not only a Democrat, but he's a tyrant. He's abused his power in prior positions.
Let me stop you here. First of all, nobody in America knows who Mike Donovan is, so you might want to start out by letting people know. Again, this is not a local show. This is a national show, so you might want to let people know who Mike Donovan is.
Right. He's the guy, if you ever saw the Oprah Winfrey show about Mary Winkler, the Tennessee woman who shot her husband, who's a preacher in the back, and then was convicted by a jury and got a 90-day sentence. That was Donovan that made sure she was softball because her uncle was the judge, and he never exposed that. And he's a Democrat. He's heavily supported by the West Tennessee backwoods mafia. And I called her office repeatedly, and I called every other Senate Judiciary Committee member repeatedly. And apparently these people are rubber stamp for whoever Trump wants, and the people in this country need to know that their voices are not being heard.
Where is your evidence? Because he was appointed by President Trump. Where is your evidence that the guy's a Democrat?
Okay, when he ran for district attorney, his number one financial campaign supporter was the lady who is a big time Democrat in West Tennessee, and I can pull up his financial report and show it to you.
Does that make him a Democrat though? I mean, are you saying unequivocally the man is a Democrat?
If the Democrat Party supports you, you support the Democrat Party.
Okay, so that's your proof, that's your evidence?
Look at his record. He railroaded innocent people into prison for exposing rigged elections in Tennessee. He softballed Mary Winkler. His first act when he was appointed was to dismiss a charge of drunk driving against this donor's nephew. And then when the guys tried to murder me in the Tipton County Jail, he covered it up and dropped the charge from...
Who tried to murder you?
An inmate in the jail by order of the judge, and they dropped the charge to simple assault. This is the history of Mike Donovan.
I see. Were you working as a deputy there or in law enforcement?
No, I'm the guy that ran for county executive in Tipton County, won in the landslide. They flipped the votes. I sued to challenge the election, and then they railroaded me. You become a crime. If you get on the wrong side, you don't have to do anything. You will just be charged and railroaded.
I mean, you're making a lot of accusations. Have you filed charges? Have you filed lawsuits against these people? I mean, if all these people are coming after you and trying to kill you, and if Donald Trump, Marsha Blackburn, David Kostoff, the entire Republican delegation is actually closet Democrats or they're supporting a Democrat, have you thought about filing a lawsuit or something?
Who?
You.
You go to the district attorney's office. They won't take your complaint. You go to the FBI.
I mean, if somebody tried to kill me, I would think that would lead to a criminal investigation. I would certainly be demanding a criminal investigation if someone tried to kill me.
Right, and when you contact the district attorney's office, they don't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Who have you contacted in the district attorney's office?
The current district attorney in Shelby County, because
oh, he's a Democrat. He's a Democrat too. Yeah, they're all. Are there any Republicans?
I've contacted the U.S. attorney's office. I contacted the FBI. I've contacted the TBI. Mm-hmm. I've contacted everybody.
I've also tried to contact. Wow, so nobody in America wants to take up your cause here, Mike. That's weird. That's weird. Well, keep trying, my friend. That's what I recommend. And geez-a-loo. That's, wow. All right, got to take a break. I'll do some thinking on that. We'll be right back, America. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Trust you're doing well today. It's just a weird day around here, right? Anyway, look, so we had a really fun conversation yesterday with Dalton Glasscock, who is all you folks in Wichita, Kansas know Dalton. He is a city councilman there, also runs Stearns Media Group and does a great job. He was on Newsmax yesterday. Our good friend Angie Wong, she is a Republican committee woman from Miami, just a great lady. And anyway, we covered a variety of issues, including this crazy situation in Virginia where you've got Jay Jones, the attorney general guy, talking about putting bullets into the heads of Republicans. Let's take a listen to that conversation. Cut 9. What does that say about the Democrat Party?
Those that they care more about trying to win this election than decency and dialogue and debate. What's most disturbing when you pulled up that text message is the last message where he talks about, where the person replies back and says, I hate it when you talk about killing or celebrating the death of individuals. Meaning, this is not the first time. This is not the first time he said this if your friend is replying back that he hates when you talk about this. I think that's the most disturbing thing, that this is a repeated action and not a one-time text just out of anger.
You know, Angie, when you do look at that, those text messages, my concern initially was the thought process. This guy actually took the time to think this through. What would he do if he had a chance to take out this Republican? What say you?
Yeah, and he wants to be the top cop in Virginia. I mean, this is so damning. I don't see how he could possibly pull out of this, although he's going to try, because last week, before all of this blew up in his face, Polymarket had him up by 9%. And so he's now hiding Biden, just trying to coast through this, hoping that early voting, the blue machine, and that Democrats will only vote Democrats and to hold the line for him. I don't see how this is going to work out. And I think that, you know, him canceling a fundraiser today, it just shows that he is just not, you know, he's not really going to campaign anymore. I think he's just going to try to get through maybe by a point or two. And sadly, he might be able to do so.
Yeah, and guys, if you could please scroll that teleprompter, thank you. I want to go to the next question, Dalton. What does this say, again, about the Democrat Party? You've got all sorts of chaos out there. You've got Democrats that are calling for violence, celebrating the death of Charlie Kirk. You had Hakeem Jeffries getting into the face. I mean, I thought they were going to come to blows with poor Mike Lawler out of New York. What do you think is going on here within the party?
Well, when he's willing to say this about a colleague and somebody that he sees every single day, what is he willing to think about the average Trump voter in Virginia or someone that disagrees with him? If you're willing to see somebody and dehumanize somebody that you're interacting with every single day, then you're willing to do that to every single person. And again, he's asking to be the top law enforcement officer of the state of Virginia. And I would ask is, would he prosecute and would he make sure that I'm safe as a conservative in the state? And I think the answer is clearly no.
No, as a matter of fact, I would be asking for police protection. Anybody whose name comes out of that guy's mouth, I'd be asking for police protection. That dude's unhinged. And speaking of unhinged, Angie, let's go over to California. Former Congresswoman Katie Porter, she is the front runner to replace Gavin Newsom, cursing out a staffer. Let's take a listen to this.
500,000 Californians dying prematurely to air pollution and other problems, and the state could lose four. Get out of my shot.
I wanted to tell you that that's actually incorrect. It's not that it's electric vehicles. It's that if we don't meet the commitments under the Paris Climate Accord.
Okay. It does. Okay. You also were in my shot before that. Stay out of my shot.
Okay, first of all, she's in serious need of an upgrade to those kitchen appliances. That aside, Angie, Katie Porter issuing this statement, it's no secret I hold myself and my staff to a high standard, and that was especially true as a member of Congress. I have sought to be more intentional in showing gratitude to my staff for their important work. Are you buying what she's selling?
I mean, talk about a self-inflicted October surprise, right? I mean, she did this entirely on her own. But she also feels a little bit safe in just giving a quasi-apology. She's expecting that Democrats are going to vote for her no matter what, that they're not watching these videos. The media has, you know, outside of Newsmax, has pretty much stayed pretty quiet on all this. So, you know, we're having a good time making fun of her, but sadly, I don't know, she might coast this one as well. And remember, she just did an awful CBS interview where she walked away. And remember, CBS, they were accused by the Trump administration of doctoring the Kamala Harris video, because that's what they usually do. They made Kamala Harris seem very audible when they were doing an interview. I bet Katie Porter thought she would have the same ride.
Well, look, that's a great point. And we have some video from that moment doing an interview with CBS News in Sacramento. Let's watch this.
What part of I'm me? I'm running for governor because I'm a leader. So I am going to make.
So you're not
going
to answer questions from reporters? Okay, why don't we go through? I will continue to ask follow-up questions because that's my job as a journalist. But I will go through and ask these. And if you don't want to answer, you don't want to answer. So nearly every legislative.
I don't want to have an unhappy experience with you, and I don't want this all on camera.
Yeah, Dalton, I think it was the reporter who was having the unhappy experience. Your reaction to all of that?
Well, first off, that first video and seeing the staffer wear a mask walking from 10 minutes away symbolizes really the entire state of the Democrat Party, especially in California. To the second interview, it shows, I remember when Katie would hold those signs up and when she would be at hearings in the House of Representatives. So she feels that she can ask tough questions to individuals, but that tough questions shouldn't be asked for her. She is unfit for the governorship of California. And again, I think there's an old adage, believe people and they show you who they are. Californians believe her when they show you who she is.
That's right.
Yeah, and look, there are tons of other stories, Angie, suggesting that Porter staffers just despise this woman. I'm kind of getting that vibe. She actually got a restraining order against her ex-boyfriend, and this is great, guys. Documents from her divorce indicate she dumped a hot pot of mashed potatoes on her then-husband's head. Angie, what does this tell you about the next possible governor of California?
I mean, I get these questions. I mean, between her and Jay Jones, like, who's worse? I mean, they're, you know what? And she also embodies, like, J.B. Pritzker and Gavin Newsom and Kathy Hochul. I mean, they all really need a mental evaluation is what I feel like all of them needs. And, I don't know why they think they are allowed to behave this way as politicians, as public figures. But apparently the Democratic Party allows this kind of behavior to happen.
Yeah, at least they weren't baked potatoes, guys. That would have left a mark, no doubt about it. Angie Wong, Dalton Glasscock, guys, thank you.
All right, that was a lot of fun. You never know what's going to happen, where the conversation is going to go on our Newsmax TV show. Hope you tune in tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax 2. We've got to take a break. When we come back, there is some interesting developments out of Washington. We're getting word that official firing notices are going out to federal workers. Many of them have been furloughed, up to, 750,000 workers furloughed. Russ Vogt over at the OMB announcing on social media that the firings have commenced. The Democrats refuse to reopen the government. Therefore, people are losing their jobs permanently now. We'll tell you more about that. 901-260-5926. That's Open Line Friday. We'll be right back.
You're with Todd Starnes.
So earlier we told you about this company that makes the demolition explosives. It's about an hour outside of Nashville, and there was a massive explosion. It was so loud that you could hear the explosion, and the explosion was insanely loud, some 20 miles away, completely destroyed the facility. We understand there are multiple people confirmed dead, and from the latest count, at least 19 people are missing. So a lot of heartache right now as they're trying to figure out what happened at this munitions plant. And by the way, they make explosives for the military, aerospace, as well as demolition companies. So just a terrible, terrible situation outside of Nashville. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Tom in Salem, Oregon, KYKN, our great affiliate out there. Hi, Tom. What's going on?
Hi there. I was taken out of the box on it totally on this budget deal, and Chuckie Schumer, maybe he's secretly working for America by forcing Trump to shut down some of these 440 government agencies and people that we don't need. So maybe he's just trying to push him to go ahead and start whacking some of the unneeded people out of there and agencies. What do you think?
Tom, are you catching a whiff of what they're smoking over in Portland? Is that what's happening here?
It has been possible, although I'm about 30, 40 miles out of Portland, but yeah.
Tom, Tom, the Washington Post has a brand new story up, like just about 10 minutes ago. They posted a story. They say that the Trump administration is now moving to start laying off federal workers right now. So these are underway. It's happening right now. They call him a reduction in force, RIFs. And they said the layoffs are taking place. I want to read this here in real time. Layoffs taking place in Commerce, Treasury, Health and Human Services, and Homeland Security. The list is not exhaustive. That's according to the Post and the people they're talking to. And so there you go. So a lot of people losing their jobs.
Yeah, there's probably quite a few more in the EPA and some of these other agencies, and who knows, the NGOs that they've been funding. Yes.
No doubt about it. Tom, let me ask you a question. You're near Portland, and Salem has a little bit of distance between the two cities. But there was a time, I always tell people, that there was a time that Portland was really a beautiful city and fun. You had a great, downtown restaurant scene, the whole nine yards.
Yeah. Trouble with the liberal, mayors and whatnot. And, lacks some of the policing. Although I just heard last night, or they had some Portland cops came back for front of that building, and it kind of, they had less turnout as far as the protesters. So maybe things are starting to turn there. But yeah, no, great town. That one time I called in and you said something about Oregon, and I didn't want to make any positive comments because we got enough liberals out here. So,
no, I understand. I get it. And unfortunately, they're moving to our neck of the woods, and so we really don't want them here. So we're trying to make. Yeah. That's why we keep telling people how bad it is in Memphis. Well, it really is bad in Memphis, but we don't need any more liberals in these parts.
Yeah, maybe we could go. They could head on down to Cuba and enjoy that 1950s vehicles.
Well, there you go. All right, Tom, thanks for calling in, keeping it real there in Salem, Oregon. Good people out there. We had the best time. It was a couple of years ago. We did a big event with our friends at KYKN, and it was somewhere in the country, and it was just a beautiful setting, and we had a couple of hundred people show up, and it was just a good old time. We had barbecue, and yeah, they know how to do barbecue out there. So, well, you've got conservatives, and you know, conservatives know how to do that kind of stuff. So anyway, again, but it was a great time out there in Salem. So tonight we're going to keep you updated. We're hearing as many as 19,000 federal workers may be fired. I think that number needs to be upwards of 25,000 to 50,000. If I'm being real with you, so we'll keep you updated once we find out more intel on that. You know, speaking of intel, there are a lot of choices for cell phones and cell service. Right, every single day it's like some new company is popping up. But the truth is, there's only one that is owned by Christians and conservatives. And that wireless company is called Patriot Mobile. And the great news is that you can switch to Patriot Mobile right now without sacrificing quality or service. Patriot Mobile, by the way, uses all three major U.S. networks. And if you have service in the country today, well, you're going to have it as good or better with Patriot Mobile. And it's not a hassle at all. You get to keep your number, you keep your phone, you can upgrade. Patriot Mobile, they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team, and they're going to get you activated in just minutes from the comfort of your home. By the way, some of you may be stuck in a contract. Don't worry about it. Patriot Mobile has a contract buyout program. They make it super simple. So I want you to go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. They have a special website just for our listeners, patriotmobile.com/Todd, or give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Use promo code Todd. And you are going to get a free month of service. Again, patriotmobile.com/Todd. Be sure to use that promo code Todd. All right. We have a story up on our website, toddstearns.com. I'll bring you to your attention. We've talked, gosh, it's been a while, but our friends at 1819 News out of Alabama, great, great folks, conservative website that's called 1819 News, and it's Alabama-centric. So they pretty much cover all Alabama news from a conservative Christian worldview. Anyway, this is a terrible story. The Movement Church, it's in Madison County, Alabama. They were going to be hosting a Turning Point USA event, and the church was vandalized. Now, the keynote speaker was the editor of 1819 News, a guy by the name of Brian Dawson, and he was supposed to be the keynote speaker. And so they posted all this hateful rhetoric, spray-painted it on the front of the church. Brian Dawson serves the Antichrist. Well, what does that mean? Beware his falsehoods. Okay. Well, the sheriff, releasing a statement to TV station WAFF, acts of violence, or vandalism rather, acts of vandalism and intimidation have no place in our community. Every person, regardless of their beliefs or affiliations, deserves to feel safe where they worship, work, or gather. We will not tolerate this type of behavior in Madison County. So anyway, they're looking into it, and they haven't arrested anybody just yet. But the sheriff says this is not who we are as a community, and I don't believe it is. I mean, it's Alabama, you know. The pastor, Seth Adgate, said he was surprised. He talked to AL.com. Says, this is not Chicago, this is not New York City or Portland or Seattle. This is like small-town America. And the ideologies that are being brought into this area are going to change the beautiful nature of North Alabama, and they'll change it to what those are because bad ideologies create bad cities. That's true. And our good buddy Lucas Miles over at TPUSA Faith, also showing his support, says they're deeply saddened, calling it a cowardly act. So we got to figure out who did this. Yeah, we've got to send a message. All that to say, folks, you got to be safe out there. You really do. It's just a dangerous world right now. And you've got a lot of these Democrats, they're enraged, they're backed into a corner, and they're very dangerous when they get backed into a corner. So just watch your six out there, America. All right, that's going to do it for us. Been a great day, great week, really. We're going to be back at it on Monday. And Sunday, I'll be hanging out at the Country Music Hall of Fame with Senator Marsha Blackburn. Any of you folks in the neighborhood, drop by and say hello. Folks, get out there, have a great Friday, and whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend, America.